We've been on this journey for the last few weeks, really since Easter, in the series The Living God, and talking about prayer, what it means to connect with God, and why do we pray? What is prayer all about? And we've developed a number of prayer practices that I hope have been fruitful for you. But when I first started this series, I told you all that prayer is not one of my, like, it's not a place I've arrived on my faith journey yet. It's been my prayer life is not everything I wish it were. And so at the beginning of the series, I called up a couple of friends who I thought, you know, these guys can pray. One of them was a guy named George Williams. He's the pastor over at City Light Church, if you've probably driven by it, on Alexis Road, right across from Cinco de Mayo, the restaurant there. And when did you start? 2 years ago? Did he plant the church 2 years ago? Yeah. About 3 years, they planted the church. You might know George from the Lewis House. He and his wife Sarah were here a number of years ago talking about the Lewis House. But I called up George, and I know they're a much more charismatic, expressive, if you will, church. And I said, we could use some help on prayer. I could use some help on prayer. And so George said, hey, why don't you talk to my friend Trevor? And I'm going to actually invite Trevor to come up here and introduce himself. But I will tell you that I saw George a couple weeks ago at the National Day of Prayer service. And I said, oh, thanks for sharing Trevor with us in a couple weeks. And he said, you know, you invited a Pentecostal to preach on Pentecost. I said, yes, I do. I'm aware of that. So we'll see where all that goes. But Trevor and I are going to kind of do a little interview kind of thing today, more of a conversation than maybe a traditional sermon. I also wanted to welcome Kayla, who's Trevor's wife of 1 year, about a year?
Almost a year.
And your sister-in-law, Hannah. And so they're joining us today. So hi guys, you can wave, yeah. And so we're glad they're here with us today too. But Trevor, I'll just let you introduce yourself and use the stool if you wish or not. Yeah. Maybe I should have given you the taller one and we would have been a little...
You'll look even taller than me now. You know what, I'm used to it. Hi, I'm Trevor. I, as George said, go to City Light Church. Just started going there about 9-10 months ago, actually, and hooked up with them. Really, what I do and the path that God has led me down is one of growing in prayer. Continually, in different expressions, and you want me to just jump right into the...
Go for it, man. All right, we'll just jump in here. Absolutely.
I might use this stool at different times. I might run around. Who knows?
I told you, he's a Pentecostal. Like, you never know.
I can contain myself. But, yeah, so my Christian walk really started just as a child. I don't remember a time when I didn't love Jesus because that was just what we did. We grew up and you know, I was a part of a Christian family and went to church and sent me to a Christian school. And really, just from the very beginning, I don't remember, again, a time when I didn't love Jesus. So at one point I questioned, well, am I saved? And so I had to ask Jesus about this. And it's like kind of the response that came back, well, of, yeah, you know, you love me, like you're in. So, but really with prayer, it started, a man invited me to start coming, to his house when I was 14. And so I was 14 years old. This guy would invite me over. He'd give me ice cream and we'd talk about Jesus. And from that birthed a prayer meeting that went on at my church for almost a decade, and is actually an expression of it, is still going. And so from the time I was 14, we were going there every Saturday. And what came out of that was just a passion for justice. One of the things that really I was going after was the ending of abortion. Because I believe that God creates life and that every life is valuable. And so it's God, you know, these lives, they're being lost all across the earth. And in America right now, it's so great a number. I know that you don't delight in this. Will you end abortion in America and send revival? not just that it would be ended, but that the people who would have gotten abortions would know you, that they would come to knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. And so really, I was going after this, and prayer was kind of a duty for me. I was doing it because I knew God wanted it. I was doing it because it was the Christian thing to do when I started going to prayer meetings on Friday night and Saturday morning. And then I started holding a prayer meeting in my high school at lunchtime, so on Fridays. So Friday during lunch, Friday evening, Saturday, and this thing was just growing. And God was really doing things in me, but I was really more a soldier of the Lord than a son of God. And that's kind of how I related to him. Like, God, what's my marching orders right now? And there wasn't much of a relational connect with him. And so finally, I ended up graduating high school, and I went out to a college out in Kansas City. It's called the International House of Prayer University. Because I needed something more. I would find that when I would pray, you know, I would connect with God, but it was mostly this burdensome thing where, God, you have a burden and I'm going to help you carry it. And whenever I would preach, I would see people not move. I would see that people were mostly unaffected. And so I'm like, God, what am I missing here? I'm spending hours with you in prayer, sometimes falling asleep. That happens.
I told you that happened to me. It happens to me too. So if it happens to you, you're good.
Let's
special guest falls asleep.
Yeah, yeah, and it still happens. Actually, I have a buddy who we'd be in prayer meetings together, and he'd actually snap pictures of me asleep and send them to me, and the buzz of my phone would wake me up. Let's
good
let's,
friend. good friend.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be real about this thing. You know, there's the human element is still there. But I wanted something more. I knew there had to be more than this. And right before I left, a woman in my church, she was part of the prayer meeting, and she said, you know what, you've been a soldier, and now God's going to show you how to be a son. And one of the things I got, there's a 24/7 prayer room out there, and that part of my schooling was being in that prayer room. And so really what happened was just a glorious transformation in my heart, to where I would be praying in the prayer room, and instead of just going after those prayer points that God, you know, I knew were on God's heart, he would tell me just to slow down for a minute and just be with him and really just talk with him about the things that are on my heart. And maybe not even the typical things you would pray about. But really just getting to know God relationally, because there's going to be a day when I see him and I want to have memories with him. You know, when Jesus comes back at the end of this whole thing and we're caught up to meet him and all of that, I want to know the God-man, Christ Jesus, and have an actual relationship with him. And I believe that's what he wants with all of us. And it kind of touching on a point I think we're going to talk about later is John 15. One of the things he told the disciples is to abide in his love. And so that's been my journey now of in prayer and praying for these different things. God, how can I do this while abiding in your love, while knowing you, while actually growing in love and relationship with you?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing some of that journey. And so you're back here as an intercessory missionary.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Okay, intercessor. The simple word is prayer missionary. So if you want to dumb that down, but intercessory missionary, what God has called me to do, and my wife along with me right now, she's in full-time nursing school, so that takes up a lot of time. But what we're doing is we're planning a prayer room. And so what God has given us as a vision right now, and he's placed us at City Light. So at City Light, we're growing a prayer ministry. And really what we're doing is growing a prayer ministry that can hopefully encourage and help start prayer ministries in other churches. Because ultimately, we're the body of Christ. You're my brothers and sisters here today. Hi, I'm the cousin you didn't know, the brother. You can adopt me in if you want after this.
Well, thank you.
You can take a vote.
We'll vote.
Yes, you can take a vote.
For congregationalists.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're in the city and we're praying. It's really as simple as that, but I believe that Luke 18, God said that when his elect cry out to him day and night, he gives an answer. And so we're seeking to have an expression of what Isaiah called in Isaiah 56:7-8 is to be a house of prayer. And so there's different places. We know we have GT Hop, Greater Toledo House of Prayer in Toledo, where and they're wonderful people. But what God has really given us the vision to do is to get the whole body praying, not just the few that are involved there right now. Because I believe that that identity of the church being a house of prayer is for every individual in the church, not just an elect group, not just the guys who get it right now, but the people who, you know, you don't necessarily like prayer very much right now, or, you know, because really the call is we are all called to know God, and that's what prayer is, to come and to know Him and to communicate with Him, that He cares about the things that are on your heart, and He allows you to partner with Him in the things that He cares about. And I believe that one of those main things is for salvation. And so as an intercessory missionary, we're praying, we're helping start other prayer meetings, and we're going out and we're sharing the gospel.
Yeah, and so you were pretty instrumental in helping develop the National Day of Prayer service that some of us went to a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was bringing together people from all kinds of churches all over Toledo, greater Toledo area, to pray.
Yeah.
And call on God. So let's talk about Pentecost a little bit.
All right.
Pentecost is a beginning story, and beginning stories are important. Next year, I'm looking forward to our 100-year anniversary, and we're going to be telling, you know, what was our beginning story? What got people, you know, to say, we need a church here? But how and why a community is formed sets the direction for that community. And so what do you see in the Pentecost story that Susan just read, you know, like half of, really? It's a yeah. bigger story than that. But what do you see in the Pentecost story that helps us understand our purpose and direction as the church? How does the beginning of our community affect us right now?
Okay, so the beginning of our community, and I'm going to grab a drink of water down here.
Go for it.
Oh, he's getting scared because I'm standing up.
You're ready to get into it.
It's hard to talk about Pentecost and not get into it because we're talking about Holy Spirit, and I love Holy Spirit. So as far as the beginning, what does it mean? Where's the direction? What's the purpose of the church? And we look at Pentecost, and it's easy to get caught up, and it's okay to get caught up, in the glory of the Holy Spirit being poured out. Like, that was the goal. That was what they were hungering for. I mean, you're getting a group of 120 people to sit in a room and for days. And, you know, we can barely do that for hours on Sunday morning. So there must have been something special going on. But what I want to notice, even before the Holy Spirit was poured out, even before 3,000 came to know Jesus, was it was really practical and didn't look that glorious. Because you can't have Acts 2 without Acts 1, and you have Jesus talking to the disciples. And I have the verse here. It says, Acts 1:4, and it says, "And while staying with them, he, Jesus, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And so they had a promise. They had a promise. They knew what it was. They didn't know exactly what it would look like. Jesus had told them a little bit about the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter. And now he's saying that go and wait. And so what they were doing was really practical. They got chairs. They sat in a room and they prayed. They waited. I mean, sometimes what God sets us to do doesn't look that glorious from the start. It looks like taking the very practical things. You know, we see the tabernacle in the Old Testament and how actually the presence of God came and dwelled in the Holy of Holies above the mercy seat. So that's the tent that Moses built, the tabernacle of Moses. And you know what prepared the way for God to do that? He said, make curtains. Make curtains, make a tent. You know, have these posts and these rods, get the Ark of the Covenant, which was really a box overlaid with gold. Like the practicality of it was really hands-on, didn't look that glorious at first, but they obeyed, and then the presence of God came and indwelled that tent. And so sometimes the purpose or the what to do of what God has us aiming for looks very small, looks very practical. Looks like, how can anything glorious come from me sitting in a chair in a room? And all of the sudden, because there was obedience and desire in sitting down in a chair, you're laying hold of a promise and God is pouring out his spirit. And so now, even having a prayer room in the back, it might look like sitting in one of those two chairs, or if you overflow into the sanctuary or got to squeeze a few more in there, it looks very practical. But what you're doing is, as you're believing the promises of God, and we might talk about a few of those in a minute, as you're believing those promises and you're doing the very simple thing of sitting and talking to the Holy One, talking to Holy Spirit, talking to the Father and praying in Jesus' name, is you're inviting that very same presence that was in the tabernacle of Moses, that was present at Pentecost and had flames of fire above their heads. You're inviting that Spirit to come and act on these promises.
Yeah. If we look kind of at the whole spectrum of the scriptures, what Pentecost is, there is a reversal of the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Back in Genesis 11, you remember the Tower of Babel story, is all the people got together to do something, to protect themselves, to provide for themselves, to kind of shine the spotlight on themselves. And that was a story of human initiation. And that's when God says, you know, splits up all the people and gives them all different languages so they don't understand each other. Well, what happens on Pentecost? God brings the people together and they all understand, all in all of their languages, they understand the gospel because of what God did. And so it's kind of the opposite story. So Babel is a story of human initiation. Like, we're going to do this. We're just going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, our beginning story in Pentecost is a story of the Spirit's initiation, of God's initiation. So if we're just going to go and say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to make this church bigger, we're going to make this church grow, we're going to, you know, whatever, that's us like living out the Babel story, that very human story of Babel. But we want to live out the Pentecost story. We're the church. That's our beginning story. And so we're looking at, you know, what is God doing? And so we need to wait. We need to wait. And you know, you mentioned Acts 1:4. We're also told that they're praying together in Acts 1:12-14. We're told that they're praying together in Acts 1:24. It's no question really what they're doing in Acts 2:1. They're waiting. They're praying. They're depending on God, relying on God. So I think that's so important for us. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yeah. So as to the purpose of why, what were they doing there? I really believe that Jesus made it so clear in Matthew chapter 28, chapter 28, 18 and 20. We call it the Great Commission. And this is what the disciples were setting themselves to do. And I have just one little point to make on here. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" And so that is what the purpose that God gave the church. This is something that is for all of us. You might be a very young believer, but I believe if you know a little bit about Jesus, you can tell somebody a little bit about Jesus. Because your family might not know him, your friend might not know him, and so you can share what you do know, but God sent them and he said, go. But here's the crazy thing. You know, we like to sometimes categorize each other. I think, you know, put our own selves in our comfort zone where we say, oh, I'm not really that evangelist guy, or I'm not really that prayer guy. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is, Jesus didn't give you an option. Because these same guys he's sending and he's saying go, and we see, you know, we're an effect of their ministry, is back in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 9, he said to pray, "For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And so he told these guys, you know what, go and pray. And the ones that prayed were the ones that he sent. And these ones that he sent, they stopped and they prayed again, and they were the ones that received power to be witnesses. Because they needed something more than the persuasive words. Even like, I needed something more. I needed something more than just knowing the Bible and having good words to say. I needed to know the Holy Spirit in a personal way. And that's why I went away to a place where they pray. Because I can speak And believe me, I can speak the word, and it's going to have an effect because it's the word of God. But if I want to truly be the most effective witness that I can be, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so on Pentecost then, they're sitting there, they're praying, moves into evangelism, telling the story.
Yeah.
Right? Because people are like, what is going on here? God is moving, and people don't understand it. You know, what's going on here? And then Peter shares the gospel for the first time, really. He says, this is what's going on. God is fulfilling the promise that he made to Joel, and he's done it through Jesus, and so on. And we see, well, we didn't see this morning, but as Peter finishes up preaching the gospel, we see a huge response. At the end of Acts 2, we're told that 3,000 were added to their number that day, 3,000 people. And so there's kind of this movement of waiting, and then God does something, and we get to participate in it, share the story, evangelism. And then people respond. We should expect that. We should expect people to respond. So what should we be praying for? What should we be expecting as far as fruitfulness in the church today? And what's our part in that?
Okay. What should we be expecting? Here's the first question. What do you want? And then let's match that up with what in the Bible does God say that is available to us? And does that match up? Because what I see in the church today, and thankfully, you know, we're seeing a move of the Holy Spirit. Even, you know, this church is a product of what the Holy Spirit is doing today. Somehow, out of some series, you guys have, your direction is you're setting your hearts to pray. And you're looking, you know, you're looking for resources. You're looking for the how, the what, you know, what do we do this? What's our aim? And this is a question that the Holy Spirit is bringing up all throughout the earth, because I believe that he is preparing us to bring in a harvest. I believe he's preparing us to go out and share the gospel and bring more in. And really, here's a verse of what I really think our expectation should be. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so here we have a promise. What is the promise? That Jesus is coming back, but at the same time, he is bringing us into a covenantal relationship as being sons and daughters adopted into his kingdom. And he says, you know what? I want as many sons and daughters as I can possibly have when Jesus returns. I want to have as many there. And so here we have, you know, really the place that we're going is Jesus is going to have a prepared bride when he comes back. Revelation chapter 19, it says that the bride has made herself ready. Isn't that funny? You know, that we are actually, as the bride of Christ, we're responsible for ourselves. Go figure. You know, we come and we receive the free gift of God. But as far as when we meet him on that day, we're responsible for what we give him. You know, I don't want to be a part of a sloppy bride. You know, she's got half her makeup done and maybe, you know, just threw her hair in a ponytail that day. No, I want to be ready. I want to be ready, and I'm not going to be wearing a dress, so don't, you know, you can put your smartphone away.
Thanks be to God.
But I want to be ready on that day, and I believe getting ready is knowing Jesus. Getting ready is knowing him. But at the same time, our expectation should be everyone being saved. There's a vision right now, and I was, you know, we prayed at the event, you know, on the National Day of Prayer, that not one should perish in our city. There are just over 500,000 people in our city. And you know what? For everyone that doesn't know Jesus, Jesus desires them. That even means for your cousin who, you know what, they're strung out on drugs and they just don't get it. They don't even want to hear about Jesus. Jesus desires them. For the worst criminal, you know, I have a friend. He used to be one of the biggest drug traffickers in our region and in Detroit. And he's saved now. I mean, let's get a vision here of the worst and the hardest. Because when the worst and the hardest come, you know, he's in a place right now where he is leading and baptizing criminals, and they're coming to the faith. I mean, people only he could have reached because of his testimony. And so let's kick up our faith a notch. And as we go into the place of prayer, pray hard, pray long, you know, get Jesus's heart. And this is where, really a relational aspect steps in. Of as you go and as you're praying for the salvation of an entire city, and we see that in the Bible, even in, you know, Nineveh. It wasn't even in Israel. Nineveh, a pagan city, comes to know the Lord in a day. Through one man's words who was anointed by the God for a purpose. And even though Jonah was reluctant, they still came to know him.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, you know, people in our lives, you know, maybe there are people in your family, maybe there are neighbors who you've kind of hoped might come back to church or have their lives changed or what have you, and maybe you've kind of given up on that, like, well, maybe one day kind of thing, and maybe you might mention them in your prayers, but I think what we're talking about, you know, when you're talking about Jesus desiring, like, do we desire, are we even, do we have that expectation? Do we have that hope and that knowledge that God really wants them to know his love, to be a part of his family, to be fully experiencing his salvation? Does our prayer life look like that?
Yeah.
I think that's my question, because mine I don't think does. So that's, you know, what's striking me. And I wonder if there's some people, some names that you could even think of now, even people you might have circled when we did circle making a couple of weeks ago, some people you circled who... to really bring that passion of God into your prayer for them.
Yeah. And so, and this is a side note, one of the things that really set a fire under me in intercession for the lost and for caring about this issue, because some, let's be honest, some of us in this room, we want to care and we just really don't. We want to have a heart. I mean, we want to have a heart. We know we should, but as far as like the earnestness in prayer and things, it's just not there. And one of the things that really hit me was the reality of hell. Because I don't want to wish that on my worst enemy. I mean, it's a real place. Jesus talked about it. Jesus didn't talk about fairy tales. And that's hard hitting and it's heavy. But I think realizing the eternity of hell, but also the eternity of glory, that's a great motivation to get praying and also to get sharing with even those ones who've rejected us so many times before. And as to our part, just really quick, what is our part? I believe our part is simply to pray and tell everybody about the one that we love, to tell everybody about Jesus. I don't care if you think you have good words or not. If you know Jesus, you're able to tell people a little bit about your experience. And it's, again, it's one of those things that is so practical. We got to cross that chicken line, get out there and share this thing. And here's just a verse real quick, because it's about fruitfulness. It's John 15. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So that's prayer. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide or remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And so it's that again, that abiding and that talking with Jesus, talking to him about what he thinks about you, what he thinks about your neighbor, that person who doesn't know you, and also bearing fruit that remains, which has to do with making disciples. To have fruit that remains, hey, guys, I believe that each of us that exists as human beings on this earth, that we have eternal spirits. And what is a fruit that abides and remains more than inviting somebody into a relationship with Jesus, and now forever they are going to give him glory? That's fruit that remains.
So, Trevor, then real quick, in like one or two sentences, maybe. What is? I know that's hard for me too. Not I'm just. But what is your prayer right now for the church today? What's your prayer for the church today?
So my prayer for the church is one that we would do that, that we would abide in God's love, that we would have a relationship with Him, that we would walk free of shame, free of insecurity, free of addictions to this world, that we would have our gaze so set on heavenly things, on that person who is God, who loves us so much, that we lay aside the weights that so easily beset us, that we lay aside those things, and that we begin to make disciples. So to know Him and to make disciples, it sounds so plain, it sounds so simple, but I'm looking for an entire city to come know God, because that's where God has put me right now. And so that's what I pray for. Because it's found so in the Bible. If you don't know what to pray for, here's a tip. If you don't know what to pray for, read the Bible and God will tell you what to pray for. It might not come in some supernatural revelation, but sometimes He'll stir your heart and He'll, oh yeah, I need to pray for that. But it's so practical. So together, as we're built up as a house of prayer, just being churches, people who pray and knowing God, inviting His presence and His glory in this city, that we would see His justice, His mercy, His salvation go forth, and that every single soul that doesn't know Him would come in. Because that's what He wants. That's the one that I love. The one that I love wants everyone to know Him. And so I'm so glad to partner with Him in that. And I believe that's the invitation that He's extending to all of us. That was a few more than a few sentences.
It's okay. There were commas in there, not like commas. Semicolons.
I took breaths every once in a while.
And so what's your prayer for us today as the local church?
So the prayer for the local church, man, if we get this revelation of Christ Jesus, we're gonna look a little different. And I'm not saying that you don't know Him, and I'm not saying that we don't have a revelation of Him. I had a revelation of Him growing up. I knew who He was. I knew that He died for me. But the thing that really started to change my life, and again, I can't say it enough because it's so real, is when I found out that I wasn't just a soldier in an army, or I wasn't just a disciple that had to be a good little boy, but that He actually loved me and that He really liked me. And so for my prayer for you today is that you would get a revelation of what Jesus really thinks about you. That you would know Him. That you would know who He's like, what He thinks about you, and how He designed you and created you to partner with Him as He knitted you together in your mother's womb.
Awesome. Thank you, Trevor. I just want to direct us to a couple practices this week. Because when Peter finishes his sermon, it says that the people were cut to the heart.
Yeah.
I love that phrase. People were cut to the heart, and they said, what must we do? And I think, again, sometimes we want people to, either come to church or have their lives changed around, and we kind of hope that, but we haven't prepared the ground for that. And as we pray, that's, God is doing something in people's hearts. He's kind of clearing, like if you planted a garden, you cleared the soil, you pulled out the weeds, you got the right. That's what God is doing. And He's also preparing our hearts for our next interaction with them.
Yeah.
And so if we, our words are going to fall flat, no matter what we do, our nagging, our whatever we do is going to fall flat unless we've prepared that soil. It's not going to grow and take root. So one of the things that our prayer practice for this week, Trevor's going to lead us in just a minute praying together, but in the back of the sanctuary, there is a schedule for next Saturday from 10 a.m. to next Sunday to 10 a.m. And there's hour intervals in there. And I want to encourage you to sign up for an hour to come into the church building, and you can use the prayer room. Check it out on your way out. We'll have it open. Use the prayer room and spend an hour praying. I did this once in college, and then I was like, all right, I'll take the 3 to 4 a.m., section. I won't do that. I don't know if I'll do that now. But anyway, and I was like, an hour, that's going to take forever. It went like that, really. Yeah. And we'll have some resources there for you to help you pray, so you're not just maybe starting from scratch. We'll have some scriptures. We'll have some questions and some things to help you pray through that hour. But I encourage you to take a moment and do that. We're asking for your phone number there. you know, just in case you're next on the list and someone's like, hey, you're next on the list, where are you? So please put your phone number on there for that, and we'll fill up as many slots as we can. If we don't fill up in the middle of the night, you know, whatever, all right? We'll deal with it, but I want you to check that out and try and be a part of that 24 hours that we're praying for the soil of whatever our ministry is, of whatever our mission is, to be prepared for whatever it is then that we do. Okay, good stuff. So Trevor's going to lead us now in our prayer practice, and I'm going to let him do that. Tell us what he wants from us.
All right. I hope you guys like each other, because what we're going to do is pray together today. And so we're gonna do some small group prayer. And so in a minute, they're gonna play a little music for us. And what we're gonna do is break up into small groups, maybe four or five. If you're not comfortable doing that in a pew, you can move out into the aisles. Just find a comfortable place where you guys,
could be up here if you need extra space, or in the back, wherever.
Yeah. And so we're just gonna begin to pray together for two things. One, for the a move of the Holy Spirit in our city, and the second one is for salvation in our city. And so again, like John had said, you know, for that ground to be prepared, and then for the seed to be planted that bears much fruit. And so if you gentlemen would like to start playing, go ahead and begin to get up. I'm going to read a verse or two while we're praying. You can pray for people you know. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the ones that don't know Jesus, because this is the beginning. You know, you've been praying for them for a while. Let's sign up again and let's go for this, because Jesus still desires them. Amen.